Lynch, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel is still on high alert for a possible attack from Iran as ceasefire talks are supposed to restart tomorrow. Here's ABC's Tom Sophie Burridge in Tel Aviv.
President Biden asked whether Iran might hold off its attack if a Gaza ceasefire deal is possible.
That's my expectation, but we'll see.
Biden's Middle East envoy, Brett McGurk, rushing to Egypt in an 11th-hour push to get Hamas and Israel to attend talks. But a U.S. official saying the odds of that happening appear to be low after Hamas indicated it would only accept a previous framework deal on the table months ago.
In a surprise move, Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida has announced that he will not be running for re-election and paving the way for the country to pick a new leader. Donald Trump heads to North Carolina today for a rally that his campaign says will be a significant economic address. Tropical storm Ernesto poised to become a hurricane after brushing past Puerto Rico late last night. This is ABC News. A big name in beauty, Avon Products, filing for bankruptcy as it faces lawsuits over allegations that talc causes cancer. If you drive a GM car, all that data it collects about you may be at the center of a new lawsuit.
Texas is suing the car maker, claiming GM violated the privacy of millions of Americans. Claims the company misled customers into sharing data about their driving habits by enrolling them in technology-enabled safety programs and then selling the information collected by those programs to data brokers. That data on customers' driving habits allegedly ended up in the hands of insurance companies, prompting them to raise some customers' rates.
That's ABC's Danny New. And yet another turn in the controversy over American Olympic gymnast Jordan Chiles being ordered to give up her bronze medal in the floor exercises. It turns out that the head of the panel that ordered the bronze to go to a Romanian gymnast has represented Romania in other cases for nearly a decade. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Hi, it's Jim Schmidt and John Meinl from Meinl and the Mayor.
Join us live on location Tuesday morning, August 27th from 6 to 9. We'll broadcast from Simple Life Hospitality's Green and Gold Party House across from Lambeau Field. Even the Packer Band will be there.
Can't make it in the morning? Swing by their open house from noon till 6. Enjoy snacks, sign up for prizes, and take a tour.
Love what you see? Well, then be the first to book the house for your Green and Gold Bash before somebody else grabs it. That's Tuesday morning, August 27th, live from 6 to 9.
See you there.
Grandpa's barbecue sauce. For decades, it's been a family secret. And if you weren't a blood relative, well, you never got a taste. Until now. Barbecue season is here. Get the rich, original Grandpa's barbecue. It's a classic. Reliable. Just like Grandpa. Apparently, some family secrets are meant to be shared. Buy yours online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin voters say no to two questions to amend the state constitution. Here's Melissa Kay.
The executive branch will retain the sole power to execute all federal funds, as it has since 1930. This means when federal funds are directed to the state, the governor has the power to accept them and get those funds quickly to where they are most needed. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Rebecca Cook is the projected winner in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary in western Wisconsin. She was leading by 6 points at last check. Numbers were coming in much slower in the Republican primary in the 8th U.S. House race in northeast Wisconsin, where Tony Weed was up by 4 points. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Dodgers beat the Brewers again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. L.A. Shohei Ohtani hit his 37th home run of the year in a 7-2 win over the Brewers at American Family Field. Ohtani now leads the National League in home runs. A rough night for the Brewers starting pitcher Colin Ray, who gave up all of the Dodgers, 7 runs and 6 innings of work. The Brewers have lost 3 in a row. Manager Pat Murphy says his team is sputtering right now. NFL experts keep asking, do the Packers really have a true number one receiver right now? Matt LaFleur Lafleur had this to say.
I want to vomit every time I hear number one receiver, to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. I feel like we got a bunch of them. So I think the beauty of them is they're all capable of doing many things, which gives us a lot of versatility from an offensive perspective in terms of how we use these guys and deploy their talents. They're all capable of being a number one in some capacity.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. We're Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunny this morning with clouds increasing this afternoon. We'll get into the low 80s for a high today with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Showers and thundershowers tonight, tomorrow, into tomorrow night. Some locally heavy rainfall amounts of an inch or more possible. Our high tomorrow in the low 70s. Scattered rain will continue through Thursday into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's Wednesday. That means it's time for public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. If you have a question for the doctor, just send it to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning! Happy Wednesday to you.
I think a lot of people feel that way after. I was up late. Election results. Did you follow that? I'm like into that. Like,
I did not.
Sports. Like, oh, like.
I know.
Like playoffs or something. I
could vomit. I hate that. I'm sorry. I'm a big fan of Matt LaFleur. I hate that answer he gave in that press conference. That's so demeaning to the media. The media is doing its job. It's asking legitimate questions.
Yeah.
And for him to say, I could vomit when somebody asks that question. Screw you.
Well, I don't know.
Do you have a number one coach? Do you have a number one quarterback? Do you have a number one offense coordinator? Do you have a number one defense coordinator? Screw you, Matt LaFleur. With your, I could vomit if you asked me that question.
Todd, do you know what he's talking about?
Kicked me off. Yes.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Because there was a question.
Todd?
There was there was a question.
It's
asked,
a legitimate question.
And they asked, "Do you have a number one receiver?" And a lot of teams have a number one receiver,
of
and they
you
get
do.
Paid a ton of money. And there's usually a number one quarterback.
It's the highest paid guy.
Right. The second highest paid guy, and
outside
he was,
the quarterback and
right,
the left tackles.
And he was like, "I could vomit when you like."
That
he really put the
so
press
insulting
down.
Insulting to the guy.
He
could have
said, "Look, you know, we have a lot of number one receivers or something."
Absolutely. But it basically said, "You're so stupid,
right.
You make me throw up by asking that question."
Right.
Oh, he's getting a little big for his britches.
It was a misstep, for sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, because he's got a pretty
good vomit.
He's got a pretty good reputation.
I got something to make you vomit. So anyway, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm not.
I'm so impressed with you.
How's that?
For coming to Cholesterol
Fest. Oh,
God,
yes.
This is a true story, and I showed you on my phone, and I talked to Todd about it this morning. When people go into marathons, where they're training for marathons, they carbo load,
right.
Pancakes, pasta, spaghetti, all those things, okay? Mm-hmm. I did the exact opposite, preparing. You saw I walked like 6 miles. I walked 2 hours yesterday.
In preparation for Cholesterol. And I'm working out today. I'm all signed up, so I'm 10 o'clock. But
you want to tell you something that's so...
That was not the healthiest food, but it was...
It was the most delicious food.
I will say this, Johnny. That was 50 people there.
There's like 100
people. Okay, well, wasn't there that long. But that camaraderie...
Some of the coolest classic cars.
It was a car show, yeah. But the camaraderie is, you know, we talk about living a healthier life.
Yeah.
And I don't know that the food would check the box there, but the camaraderie keeps people healthy. I mean, those guys were having so much fun together, catching up on old times. And that's part of living a healthier life is getting together with, you know, your friends. And you could tell that that was a little bit of a reunion. And I don't know what the common thread is between all of them, but boy, they sure got along. That was fun. I really enjoyed that.
Everybody's got their group, their
right.
Little, that's my group.
Yeah,
that you know what
is,
I mean.
Oh, yeah,
that's my guys.
You're a little younger, but
I am. But you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I mean,
you relate to those guys like you.
Yeah, it's just
Just for our listeners, Johnny goes to this, and it's the first time I went. It's called a Cholesterol Fest, and it's rightly named. They take pork shoulder.
No,
right? No,
Side pork.
Side pork.
Which I'm eating right now.
Yo, we brought Todd some.
That's really good.
Is that something, Todd? You've got it right there. And that homemade bread that was made that morning?
I'll try that. My dad used to make side pork.
Oh,
and it was good. And it was good. But this is better than even his.
Is that something?
Yeah. The guy.
Watch out for the bone, though. It's like a really sharp bone. But that's part of the deal. And I put something on my Facebook where the guy says the most tender meat and tastiest meat is closest to the bone.
I did.
So that's where they keep the bone in.
Yeah. Wow.
Is that great?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But, did you guys raise pigs?
No.
Oh, okay.
But so
Jim, watch out. Jim asked the guy. It's over here. How long ago is this thing walking around?
How fresh is this?
And so this guy stands over this boiling
deep fried oil,
and just dropping that in there, and his sweat's dropping. It's like,
but you know what?
He was working.
You had to be really quick because as soon as he put it on the platter,
it was gone.
It was gone.
That is true. You had to grab. The stuff we got, we had to go in there and kind of scarf it up right away. And then they have, besides this homemade bread, and I think that's what we got to dig a little deeper on, how he made that bread. It's unbelievable, right, Todd?
Oh, it's very good.
That bread is really, really good bread. And then after, didn't see the salads. But then at the end.
You didn't see the lettuce they brought out?
No fruit.
And you didn't see the vegetable tray?
No. Must have been gone by the time I got there. Because all the fruits and salads were gone when I got there. And then they have this dessert, which is unbelievable. It's that, I forgot the name of that, but it's got that yellow like cream in there. And then it's got white cream on top and then chocolate. And just.
The one with the peanut butter cup?
Yeah. The other one was,
And.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a good time. And it was, nobody like drank too much or anything. It was just a real social event.
Absolutely. It's not like a drunk fest or anything like that. I mean, they're all,
It was just great. I think that's really healthy for those guys because they sure got along.
How about what the guy built, my buddy Jimmy Umentum, what he built on his, what used to be a chicken coop or whatever in his barn, where they call it Jack Ash Lounge. Where there was a bar that had closed down, and he took the actual bar and the big mirror and everything, and he put it in this barn, and then all the things he's collected over the years from auctions. Oh, isn't it fantastic?
So, like, people have, like, they call them man caves, where a guy goes and chills maybe by himself or with his friends. That thing's unbelievable. He could open that and be a bar.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it's that big and that decorative and that comfortable and... people playing cards. He's got a bar in there.
Did you see the birdhouse in there that I made him?
No.
You didn't see it? No. He had it displayed.
Yeah. No.
It was with one of his license plates that I took from his, because he was a Purple Heart veteran of Vietnam.
Oh. But yeah, he's got great digs out there. I think that is.
I would love to have a place like that, wouldn't you?
That's close to off the grid.
I mean,
because he's got the barns. I don't know how much land he has, but yeah, he could survive out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I would love to stay in that place. You know, I was talking about I want a place where there's a big snowstorm and it's.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be great to be in his Jack Ash Lounge during a snowstorm, playing cribbage or whatever, and sitting at the bar?
A lot of that going on. It was. Those are great parties, and it was just. They do it every year. They just do it.
Oh, yeah.
It just. There's really no. Purpose.
And now you're a member.
I'm going to send him a thank you note. I grabbed his address. So, that was nice. They invited me. Don't know. I think I'm going to wear different shoes next time. I don't know.
Did you wear your dress shoes?
Yeah. I came from work. I was at the. I was. I'm going to wear shoes.
You're kind of that guy at the party that was overdressed a little bit.
Who's that nerd?
Because why you had sleeves up? Most guys had cut off sleeves. Didn't have sleeves on T-shirts. It was great, though. Yeah, but so, Todd, we brought you something, a little Tupperware thing.
Yeah, good stuff.
Great.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, that was
great time.
That was a good time.
So that's how we spent our day yesterday.
Yes.
But I was telling you, though, too, so I went for that really long walk yesterday, and I left the trail. Like I said, the trail ticks me off because these people on these bikes just, like, zoom past you, and they don't say left or anything, and just cut right in on you. That's why I straddle the line. I want to... But anyway... So then I walked, I cut up, actually, you know where I walked through the cemetery?
Yeah.
I cut across up through, is that Nicolay Cemetery? Or whatever it's called. Alloy Cemetery? Whatever it is. It's where Curly Lambeau's buried. They got that thing.
Okay, right.
Okay, so I walked up through that, and I'm always fascinated, I'll be honest with you, by cemeteries. When I see the veteran type things in the war. But anyway, so I walked all the way through that, and then I walked all the way down Webster, and cut through the whole Astor Park. And I've never walked it before. That was fascinating. I felt like I was on a tour. I've driven through there or whatever, but I've never walked it where you really look at these houses and appreciate the architecture on these houses. It's spectacular.
Yeah,
it is. Like I've lived here for 30 years or 40 years or whatever. It's like, why did I ever walk these neighborhoods before?
Because they're not a drive-through neighborhood. Those aren't main streets, you know. They're kind of off the beaten path. But, yeah, you get back there, and it's, yeah, those houses are beautiful. And they're well-maintained.
Oh, my gosh.
On Quincy and Adams and not Adams.
All of those. I can't even tell you what streets they were, but it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Look at this house. Look at this house. Yeah. Look at this house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're great. And there's the thing is, besides look at the house, Johnny, there's history in those homes.
That's what I mean.
You know, like the guy, first postmaster. That's that kind of stuff. There's just that kind of history in because there was no Hobart. Remember we had that guy on here from Ledgeview? What did he say? 80% of the homes were like less than 20 years old or something?
Well, when I moved into Ledgeview, we built in 2006. And when I walked the property, it was still a farm field.
Right. And that's 2006.
Now there's hundreds and hundreds of homes there.
Yeah. And, but that was Green Bay. So people lived in Green Bay because that was the nicest part of Green Bay. And now there's a lot of nice parts of Brown County.
But
I love
that, we've all been in other cities where those areas that close to the downtown are blighted.
Well, they get converted into two and three family homes.
You know what's weird, though, Jim? It's like, okay, so that part, everybody's really restored them really, really nice. Mm-hmm. And then the other parts here within walking distance of here almost, just the opposite. Mm-hmm. Beautiful homes. But you got those landlords, those absentee landlords that just destroyed them.
Mm-hmm. Some
and
of them
destroyed
are local.
The whole neighborhoods.
Yeah. No, they did. They converted those. And you can't do that anymore. I think I'd put a stop to that. But, yeah, it's too bad. And it really hurts the person next door.
Oh, my gosh. A couple of bad houses on a block.
Done.
Block is done. Hate to say it, but it's true.
Everybody say, your home is your castle type thing. But, boy, you really want a good neighborhood. And we have that where I think there's a lot of great neighborhoods, but nothing wrong with some rentals, but some rentals, if they're
If it's a local landlord where somebody can call and say, hey, come on. But when the guy, I told you the time when we went around, Green Bay, live here, love here, or whatever. Okay. And we'd go to these people, we'd literally knock on their houses, or we'd send them letters and say, hey, would you be interested in selling? Because we want to put them on the market and fix them up and kind of revitalize neighborhoods.
There's some grants.
And we're like, hey, who's your landlord? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I send my check to a post office box in Chicago.
Yeah.
So they don't give a crap about whatever.
It's hard for us to chase them down, too.
Absolutely.
It's an LLC.
Yeah. But but these, I have so much respect for the old home builders. Like when we had the guy in here yesterday from the new Veterans Village they're building in Green Bay.
Right.
And, they're carpenter. Kim. And I said, man, I always wanted to be a carpenter. I'd give anything in the world to go back in time and be a carpenter. The craftsmanship of those carpenters, there were no table saws. No. There were no circular saws. No. There were no. And it, by hand, every board was a saw.
Yeah.
A hand saw. The craftsmanship, man, you got to admire that.
Yeah. And it's. And they used, different wood, but bird's eye maple and some really cool
wood. Oh, the
wood
was so much better.
Yeah.
It was old growth.
Right.
Yeah, so it didn't work.
So, to buy those houses, but you don't want to go buy a house and stick, a ton of money into it if the neighborhood isn't strong.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
You never get your money back.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, it's Wednesday. We got a great lineup coming up for you, folks. Stay with us. Mino and the Mayor, back at us.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
He'll treat you bad and make you sad.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS, and of course the Civic Media app. 61 degrees in Green Bay, 66 in Appleton, 61 in Oshkosh. Wasn't yesterday afternoon about as perfect weather-wise as you could possibly ask for?
That's great.
Yeah.
It was.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And no humidity, which is really, really nice.
You know what I want to do? I want to be an agent, a talent agent. And I want to be an agent for that young meteorologist we had in here yesterday. 23 years old with her spunk, her personality.
Lauren Larson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's going to be, she could go as far as she wants to.
Yeah.
She could be like major network.
And she likes to do stuff too, right? Drive the speedboat. I mean, she likes to get out there a little bit, you know, which is more than just, she's got a great personality. She's 23.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Oh, my God.
As we said, you got shoes older than her. So, yeah. Wow.
Today is National
Calligraphy. You know, that fancy writing?
Calligraphy?
Yeah.
Okay. What is that?
It's like fancy writing, you know?
Okay.
Like,
there's all sorts of,
You know, like when you get an envelope for a wedding or something.
It's, it's calligraphy. Yeah, okay.
It's very, and there's people who are really,
do they
really
even
good
teach that anymore in schools? We had the Palmer method. Remember that? That was the,
Cursive.
Of cursive
that we had.
And then you'd have the whole thing aligned up along the blackboard, how to, to make your B's exactly this way.
Yep.
Yeah.
For halfway. Yeah.
Do they still have those?
I don't think they do.
Do they even teach that anymore?
No, cursive is no longer taught.
Wow.
That's going to be secret writing someday.
Isn't that something? Penmanship. I mean, you'd get graded. I remember the one thing is the nuns always wanted to have you where your the back of your hand was like vertical or was horizontal. I could never do that.
We didn't learn that way.
No? Okay.
So you had to bend it around?
You had to have it like this when you wrote. It was weird. I never.
Wow.
No. I got C's in penmanship or
drilled into
D's.
How to hold your pencil.
Yeah.
Between the fingers. And
yeah.
All that. But yeah, that I remember that part, but I don't remember the.
So they
horizontal.
Don't even teach penmanship anymore. There's no such thing as a class.
I don't know that. I don't know that they don't teach cursive writing anymore, but.
Elementary school teachers, let us know.
If they don't, I think that's kind of cool because then some kid could learn it and send, his girlfriend a note and have their parents decode it. It's just it's just cursive writing. Wow.
Did you ever send a girl a note?
Of course.
Yeah. Everybody did, right? Todd, did you? Yeah. Did anybody ever send a note that got a positive result? I never did.
That's a different question.
Hey, I like you. No response. Forever.
I had a girlfriend in middle school. Her name was Lisa.
Okay.
And probably one of my first ones. And I got her this really cute little necklace for Christmas. It was a crystal cube. Okay. Just kind of different, whatever. Uh-huh. And it was one of those, I like you, do you like me, note passing in
class.
So at any rate, we broke up. I don't even remember what happened. But in recent years, we've gotten together to go out and have dinner and stuff like that. And she actually went out and bought a necklace that looks like that.
Wow.
And wore it when we went out.
You made an impact.
Hello, Todd.
I've been thinking of you since the day you sent this to me.
Wow. At you. Okay. I like you, ladies, man.
Few more questions when we go to break here. That's
always,
awesome.
It's always those quiet guys.
I know. They never say anything. It's like,
always
yeah.
those quiet guys.
Yeah, I know.
In my class where you in a couple of years ago, I'm sitting at a table, and you start funning around and having fun, whatever. And I went around the table and all the girls that I went out with, like all of them except one, were people that I had dated in school.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fun.
fun.
Wow.
Says two things. Either I was really popular or I couldn't keep a girl.
One of the two.
Or both.
I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome.
Wow. And there's so much.
You know what I used to do at lunchtime? I'll be honest with you on something. When I was in the eighth grade.
Yeah.
A girl from a public school. We used to meet in the back of the church and make out at one time.
Public school girls were a little. They were
oh,
a little.
Yeah. Catholic schools girls. I had a public school girlfriend when I was in the eighth grade. Oh, yeah. You had to have that. Yeah.
Okay.
You're the Matt Daddy when you get a public school girl.
Good morning.
Today is also Lizard Day. All right. That's another one of those things like having a snake for a pet. Why would you have a lizard
right,
for a pet?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No.
I don't. Those hook me out. Lizards do.
But they don't bite, right? Lizards?
Some do.
Really?
Oh, in Arizona, they had the, it's one of the deadliest things you'll find. It was a Gila monster. You ever hear of Gila monsters?
Yes.
No. They are deadly. Deadly. My brother had one in his yard in Tucson not long ago. They will kill you if they bite you. They've got small mouths, but their venom is crazy. And once they latch on, you, like, can't get them off.
Our news person, Lisa Hale, has a lizard kind of thing.
As a pet?
Yeah, but she also has spiders, too.
Does she let the lizard walk around
spiders
the house?
Spiders as pets?
Yeah, she's got some tarantulas and stuff like
that.
Oh,
right, my that's weird. God. I wouldn't sleep in that house.
No.
Well, I agree.
Wow.
And, yeah, they leave the lizard kind of crawl around and it'll lay on their chest while they watch TV.
I am not a fan of that at all.
Wow.
Creamsicle Day. Love creamsicles.
Oh, yeah.
Do they still make them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think they're as good as they used to be.
Not as sweet. Nothing is.
Yeah.
Even I mean,
three old guys. Who's
old white? You know what? In my day,
nothing is. Nothing.
You'd buy a Hershey bar for 5 cents, and it was so delicious. Now, you know what? It's like $8 for a candy bar, and it
tastes like chocolate.
Tastes like crap. It tastes like those chocolate things your mom used to get for baking. Remember those?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That when it was. But that's baking chocolate, and we always thought it was like sweet chocolate.
And it was terrible.
It was awful.
It was awful. Like bitter.
That was,
you have those?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Are you too young for that?
No, we had that.
You had those.
Yeah, I think though that'd be interesting because creamsicles were great, and I don't know if they've taken a little less quality ice cream or something. But I don't. I'll agree with you. I don't think there's
nothing
like
as sweet but maybe, as it used to be.
I don't know. Maybe we're. I don't know.
I don't. But I don't.
But I wouldn't. Yeah, those creamsicle day. Yeah, let's celebrate. Man.
Hot day at the gas station. Yeah. Georgie Pecorin's gas station. That was just the greatest thing in the world.
We used to eat sherbet out of toilet paper rolls. Remember those push-ups, right?
Yes. Oh,
push-ups.
Absolutely. Those were great.
Those were awesome. Did you have...
Fudgicles? Remember Fudgicles?
Yeah. Did you have the dilly wagon that drove around?
No. In my neighborhood. Are you kidding me?
We did. Oh, God. It was great.
No.
The guy coming in that little three-wheeler thing? Yeah, little cart on the back? Stop.
No.
Wearing white?
No.
In John's neighborhood, if you heard the banjo coming down the road, you ran the other way.
Yeah, no.
That's where we would get a lot of that.
Really? Yeah, you're a city guy.
Yeah.
No, I was in the country. Birthdays, Tim Tebow is 37. You know, that guy has tried so hard to make it, and he just hasn't. Halle Berry, 58. You don't hear much about her anymore.
Not much.
She was awesome, though, when she was younger in some of the movies. You ever see Monster?
No.
Her and Billy Bob Thornton, great movie. She was awesome. Susan Olsen, is that from Little House?
She was Cindy Brady on the Brady Bunch.
Oh, the middle one?
No, the little,
no,
one.
Little one.
Oh, the littlest one.
Yep, Curls, yeah.
She had that lisp, eh?
Yeah.
My death is going to 60, the death.
But she's 63, John.
She's crazy.
God.
Magic Johnson, 65. Rusty Wallace, 68. Susan St. James, I used to like her.
Oh, yeah.
She was on that show with Rock Hudson, right?
McMillan and Wife.
McMillan and Wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked her. Susan St. James, Steve Martin, 79?
He is.
Boy, he's funny.
He is 79?
He is.
Wow. Oh, and look at this. 1953, the wiffle ball was invented.
That's right.
Oh, we just talked about that.
And I was watching a thing where a guy can throw a wiffle ball over 100 miles an hour.
Dang it.
I would love to, like, play in one of those games. Yeah. Yeah. Mind on the Mare. Full lineup coming up. Stay with us.
Yeah, he's holding her in his arms late at night. You know,
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We're just a couple weeks away from what could become some of the busiest marketing times for dairy. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Yeah, beginning in September, the dairy sector should start to see more interest from retailers looking to build their inventories for the holidays. But will that be the case this year? Mike North, primary trader with EverAg out of Platteville.
That ultimately is our normal seasonal peak. It's when we love to be active in the marketplace, and this year looks like it's well supported to be active there again. Yes, that's the time of the year when, you know, school milk is starting to suck some volume back out and compete. We're ramping up for the holidays. All things hit right around that September, October timeframe. And so it's hopefully when we're going to get a better look at even some better prices, but don't look a gift horse in the mouth, as they say.
All right, let's keep our fingers crossed. Mike North, one of the primary operators with EverAg out of Platteville. We'll give you the dairy market numbers as well as the rest of our grain trade and overnight activity. That's next.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
It was a good day in Chicago for the barrel cheese. It was up 7 cents to 216. 40-pound block cheese on Tuesday up to a 202. Double A butter came down 2 cents, 312 a pound. This morning in overnight trade, September class 3 milk that goes into cheese, it's down 6 right now at 21.28. October closed 9 cents stronger, 21.66 a hundredweight. Currently, December corn's down just a half, 3.96 and 3 quarters. November soybeans are up 3 and a quarter at 9.65 and 3 quarters. September wheat right now down 3 and a quarter, 5.25 and a half. There's your market update for a Wednesday morning. Don't forget, more news anytime, MidwestFarmReport.com. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter and you won't miss a thing. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Sunny this morning with clouds increasing this afternoon. We'll get into the low 80s for a high today with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Showers and thundershowers tonight, tomorrow, into tomorrow night. Some locally heavy rainfall amounts of an inch or more possible. Our high tomorrow in the low 70s. Scattered rain will continue through Thursday into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Hey, neighbor, have you ever heard of Bug Tussle? No?
Well, listen up.
Bug Tussle Internet is a Wisconsin-based internet provider that's committed to providing internet to many of our rural areas. Yes, Bug Tussle. What a great name and a great price for internet, starting at just $45 per month. But hurry, this offer ends September 30th. Get details now at btussle.com. That's btussel.com. Your neighbor has Bug Tussle. You should too.
What's on Tap? Brought to you by Miller Lite, the original light beer. Rooting for the Brew Crew, because we're from Milwaukee, too. Tastes like Miller time. Seniors, WPS Health Insurance wants to see you at American Family Field on select weekday home games. Seniors 60-plus can save 50% on tickets and are invited to stroll along the outfield warning track following the game. Visit brewers.com/WPS to learn more. Milwaukee Brewers Baseball and Miller Lite.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. We got Ryan Lambert from Midwest Restoration coming up in a little bit. Ben and Deanna Malcor, of course, from Bay Area Realty. Always have a great time with them.
Right.
Keith Pamperin from in a great, great organization, Challenge the Outdoors, which is fantastic. And Terry Barr, of course, Slice of Wisconsin. She brings energy to the table, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's awesome.
Yeah. And I've worked with Keith for years, and it's going to be... He just kept it going, even though he, you know, his wheelchair, cane and wheelchair. But he,
there's no stopping these guys.
They're hunting. Like,
they're defiant in a really good way.
Exactly. And they're good examples for the rest of
absolutely
people who have
fantastic
challenges.
Well, we got to do it. I always say I never, ever, from the day one when you wanted me to do this show, I said, I'm not talking politics.
You did.
Unless it's the biggest story of the day. So here we go, post-election.
Yeah.
Your views.
Were you up late? Waiting?
What do you think? After Cholesterol Fest? Yeah, I think.
That is true.
I just want to say one thing, though. My buddy Ron, whose party we were at last week, coaches at this big, like, 400 people. I just thought that was really insulting what he said to me. And I told him that to his face.
What, John, you got to, what did he say?
He blamed me for all the vodka being gone halfway through his party.
He did. And then John tries to deny it. I was standing right there. John goes, no, it wasn't me. He goes, yeah, that was you. Because like three bottles. So.
Johnny, we ran out of vodka. Because it's like, well, that's so insulting and not even true, hardly. You can't prove it.
John, you didn't drink that much. You should
but
bring
again,
your own.
What a great bunch of guys.
Oh, yeah.
And there were four people at the show or at that party yesterday. They're in my book.
Yeah.
And then two more that I talked to yesterday that are in the current book that I'm writing.
Yeah. And a lot of listeners, which is great. And just, and like I said, I really think that don't underscore how important that is for living a healthy life on when you get a little bit older.
Absolutely.
That socialization.
The camaraderie.
It's underscored. Everybody's like, well, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to watch what I eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Those are good things. But you really need to have a social network and be it, cars.
And I'll tell you something else.
That's
there
really,
were
really important.
Four guys there that all had Purple Hearts.
Yeah.
They were all wounded in Vietnam.
Right. I thought that was... Great. Anyway, so, no, I even though
but
I
go ahead. Politics.
No, but go ahead.
I mean, this is your
really,
wheelhouse.
If you want
to talk NFL quarterbacks, I'll talk that someday. But go ahead. This is your post-election. Go ahead. Your views.
I will. I'll give you my views in a second. But you said quarterbacks. I have my fantasy football... lunch to pick the players.
Okay, well, I've got a guy coming on.
On the 23rd. I know.
We got a guy coming on, and he'll do every Thursday morning. My buddy Sal, he's like an expert. He's unbelievable on this. He's like, unbelievable. And he's going to be our fantasy football guru every Thursday morning on predictions and advice and things like that for fantasy football. I got one sponsor, it looks like. I'm looking for, because I want to pay him for doing it. He's an amputee. He's an Iraq amputee. Mm-hmm. Plays on the Patriots softball team. Great friend of mine. And his wife, actually, whose brother is an amputee, they all work together in helping these kids, amputee kids and everything like that. And he's going to be on, we're going to get him on every week.
So
but I need a sponsor. Is there any company out there that would like to sponsor this? And the money's not going in our pockets. I want to make sure I pay him. I mean, part of it's going into our pockets of the big thing, but it's not like directly to us. I'll be honest with you.
A little something for
it goes into corporate. Okay.
Yeah, it's corporate.
Keep the lights on type
civic
thing.
Media.
But if there's any companies out there that would like to sponsor a fantasy football segment with this wonderful Iraq veteran, please let us know.
All right. So anyway,
because part of the money that you give for sponsorship, it'll be the yada yada fantasy football weekly report, and part of it will go directly to him. So I just wanted to show any companies out there that would like to sponsor.
Is he coming on next week?
Well, maybe the week after. Because fantasy football doesn't start until the regular season.
Yeah, I know, but we're picking our teams on the 23rd. It's a potluck.
You know what? Maybe we'll get him on then.
Just give me his number. Just do that. Just
text him during our next break.
All right. We'll get him on. But anyway, back to say, football and politics, right? Which are the two things that keep me going.
Yeah, last night was interesting, right? It's a primary, and I think sometimes people think, well, you know, if you don't win the primary, it's still okay. It's not okay. I mean, it's over if you don't win the primary. And, you know, the most competitive race we had in our district here was the 8th Congressional Congress seat, right? Because Gallagher stepped aside and left that vacant. So you had to vote for someone to fulfill his term, and then you had to vote for someone to do his term for the next 2 years. And that was very close, and it was very close between, there were three people running, all qualified, right? One was a sitting senator, the other one was a previous senator, and the other one was just outside, just a business guy, and Tony Weed, and he won. And I
are you, okay, let me just.
And I interviewed all three of them on my show, though, Jim, so I know, okay. I know all three of them.
And again,
well. Don't ask me who I voted for. Cause
I couldn't tell you if my mom and dad were Democrats or Republicans.
Yeah.
My dad stressed it in our family. That is such a privilege. And he talked about with his dad, who came over from Italy.
Yeah.
And when one of his greatest moments was when he passed the test to become an American citizen.
Right.
And that was in like the 1920s. We're not talking like 1840 or something. You know, like in our generation almost of whatever. And he said the greatest thing in the world was to be able to go and vote. Oh, yeah. And, you know, but their whole thing was private. You keep that to yourself. You keep that to yourself. You keep. So I can't tell you if my dad and mom were Democrats or Republicans. So I kind of grew up that way. So that's why. And your family maybe a little bit opposite. You're more whatever. So all I'm saying, but all I'm saying is this: the one thing, because I know the Weed family. This guy's dad is used to be a great friend of mine.
And
great
we both know his brother pretty well.
Yeah, and Andre, I've known him forever.
Yeah, he's my chief of staff. Yeah.
Okay, and Roger.
Great. Awesome guy.
I know them, so every one of them I consider like a friend type thing. But here's what I'm asking,
you
okay?
You need a three-sided coin.
Is there a positive these days to not have a background in politics versus just starting out with a clean slate versus that? I'm just curious about that because I watch it from afar, and you're a student of this. I'm curious about your opinion on these things.
Nothing's easy. Even that kid we had on yesterday who was interested in politics.
Right.
I mean, whether you were in politics or not, they're going to dig pretty deep.
Right.
You know, and they're going to find out if you had to have an unhappy employee because Tony had, you know, many, many employees. But, you know, when you're in public office, you take votes. And look, there's going to be something in the budget that somebody's not going to like. You either cut the libraries by 1%.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, he hates libraries. Doesn't like kids. Doesn't think they should. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just very, very difficult. So did Tony have an advantage? I don't know. It depends on the voter. Some people are like, the guy's got no experience. We're not going to send a guy with no experience to Congress. Other people are like, these other guys,
that's
you know.
That's a positive.
well, these other guys are other career politicians.
Right.
We don't want to do that.
No
I mean,
baggage.
I went to some of the debates to watch these guys. And, you know, like I said, I don't think we could have gone wrong with any of them. Republicans could have gone wrong with any of them. And, you know, and now it's going to be an interesting race because we're both really good friends with Dr. Lowry.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. And so it's going to be, you know, Tony Weed and her that are going to. And they're both. Neither of them have been, I think, on the school board or city council or I don't know.
That's what I mean.
Neither of them.
No track record.
Right. Yeah. Which is to their advantage.
Is that a positive or a negative?
It depends. Some people can say I took the lead on this project or that project so that can help. But. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, voters decided and they wanted somebody from the outside because both Andre and Roger, pretty good resumes in politics. So, and I think they're like, nah, let's try something different. So it'll be interesting. This morning I sent texts out to him. Just congratulations for running. You know, that is a tough, tough thing, Johnny.
Oh,
I don't
my
know that,
Lord.
The sleepless nights.
Even imagine. Like I said, I used to help my brother when he ran for sheriff.
Right.
And even with that was... Yeah.
And some of those ads were ugly.
That's what's really turned these days, huh?
Yeah. And it's not so much this guy spending money against that guy. It's these PACs that are, you know, political action committees that, you know, the donors sometimes. And they just really it's negative. And the candidate, in their defense, doesn't have control over the PAC. But they also don't take an ad out saying that's not true.
I disagree.
I didn't do it. Well, you could say more than that. But
when did that change? When did it get so nasty?
I don't know. Wasn't it always a little bit nasty? Remember that?
I don't know.
I don't know, Todd. Remember, you've been a little bit of a student of this, but when they had that girl with the daisies.
Oh, yeah.
Girl with the daisies.
Yeah, that was
and then they blew up that nuclear
That was Goldwater.
It was Goldwater, yeah.
So that was 1964.
Yeah. And then they had that other ad. I don't know if that was the Goldwater, where they just had President Goldwater and the guy was just laughing.
Oh, I don't remember that one, but I remember the girl with the daisies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those were powerful ads. One of them, I think they...
That might be the first of the...
But it's been a little bit ugly. I mean, I don't... Just now, social media doesn't help. And I don't know. As long as people, you know, say, look, that's politics, and really get in and look at the candidate. It's nice when you meet the candidate. I will say that. Because you can kind of look them in the eye.
I think it's gotten worse since the PACs got involved.
Yeah.
You know, and as people, we probably don't look closely enough into our own study of people and the politics and the candidates. We take for granted what's being shoved at us. Yeah. And I think that's, in general in life, we do that a lot. We want somebody else to do the work for us. And
But
if we could get rid of that a little bit.
Yeah. I asked a politician one time who was way above my pay grade. I'm like, why are you so negative? And he goes, because it works.
Really? You know? Okay.
Oof. So that's a little bit our fault too, right? I mean, if it does work, it doesn't influence me, but I mean, some people, I don't know, does it? I don't think they spend $700,000 if it didn't work. I mean, there's got to be some testing. And this, do you like this ad where can't we all get along? Or this ad like this guy did this and that, and like, oh no, that would make me move the needle. You know what I mean?
Wow.
I mean, there's
something about our
get to your
DNA.
Point.
Well, yeah, about culture. Our culture. Yeah, yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
Are other countries like that?
Well, it's not as much. You know, you go down to some, like in Mexico, there's just not as much, I don't know, maybe the social media, but there's just not as much cable TV and stuff. There's just posters everywhere. You know, every other telephone post is posters on, you know, this guy or that guy. But
UK is not quite that bad.
Okay, you work in the UK, basically.
Yeah, they still have the equal time and all that kind of stuff. And over there, in broadcasting, you can't say something that's not true.
Yeah. Well, there's a.
Or, and also, if you're a politician, you can't say something about your opponent that's not true. And if it's even slightly proven, you're in trouble.
You know, I still remember being in broadcasting 101 at Arizona State. And I swear for the entire semester, it was all about Section 301 or whatever it was of the Fairness Doctrine.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's like, boy, if you had a politician on, you got to have his opponent on equal time, equal whatever. Do those apply anymore?
No. Yeah. No. Well, I thought if we had, but if we had, you know, Tony Weed or Dr. Lowry on our show, one of them, we'd have to, the other one could petition to be on for that same amount of
time.
That
is correct. They can ask to be on and they get the same amount of time. But in the old days, you had to do it.
Oh, you had to do it. Oh, my gosh.
They might be out of
one
to be on your show.
That was pounded into our heads as students.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I agree. That's it's a little sad to see that.
But part of it was, though, if somebody was in office and there was like something about, oh, taxes might go up for the new sidewalks, whatever, you could interview that guy if it was a bona fide news story.
And you can still do that today.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
All right.
That was the key. Is it a bona fide news story or more of a fluff thing to, you know, whatever? Because they would do, I remember that politicians or their people would try to manufacture a story about a thing to get their face on TV.
Yeah.
So that was the thing we had to watch for.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. You know, I got that show on Sundays, Lean Local. And we're
so who are you having on?
Well, this week we're going to just talk about the business. The vice president of the chamber is coming on, Lisa.
Okay.
And she's going to just talk about, you know, are we doing enough for the economics here? I mean, you look, we got some vacant buildings around town.
Yeah. You know which one I still, you know, I walked by yesterday, Jim? The one...
And
it's on the same block as like Angelina's and Delilah's or whatever.
Yeah.
It's got the most beautiful windows
and
doors. The architecture is fantastic.
Yeah.
Why is that vacant?
Yeah. We can talk about that. I know a little bit about that. I just think I want to talk about the brain drain. Are we still experiencing that? Are we retaining kids? And we had this 23-year-old. We had that kid that was on from 26 who's on hold. He is, but he's under 30. And what are we doing to retain these people? Are we surveying them? Are we talking to them? Are we just hoping they like it here? Because, you know, hope is not a strategy, right? So we're talking to talk to the chamber. Then after that, we'll get more into there's a lot of candidates. I mean, there's a state Senate race that we're going to have both candidates on. We're going to have both candidates on for the assembly. Actually, we're going to have four different candidates on for that, two different districts. And then, of course, Congress. Yeah, it's going to be great. And we'll lean a little bit more local on what are they going to do for our community here. But
it's your wheelhouse.
I love it.
All right. Quick break. Back after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights. Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Ryan Lambert, Midwest Restoration coming up. I still want to get a job with them.
Yeah, I know you
do. Get a job with them. But Indiana Malcor, I still want to work with them, too. Yeah, I want to do some stuff with them.
Okay. Isn't John, do you see what's happening here? You've been on the show over a year. You've been talking to these people, and they've never gotten back to you.
I'm not sure they got my number.
I'll pass out cards from now on.
We got to do that.
It's funny because our cards are right there when you walk in the door. You walk out the door. Our cards are right there. Jim Schmidt, John Mino.
I am... Because even when I go up to my brother's camp at the deer camp,
yeah,
and he's always like, man, you're a hard worker, and we're making wood and cutting wood and doing all this stuff. And he's like, man, you just – and it's like, I know, but I've, how many times have I tossed out there? Looking for a manual labor job.
Yeah.
But manual labor. I want to do manual labor, and nobody will hire me.
Yeah.
What?
I just – with your, how long do you do that work? Hour? 45 minutes maybe?
More than that.
Okay. I think that's...
Hour and 15? Then we play cribbage.
And you're not... You can't really drink on the job, you know, when you're and up there. They probably have a little bit more leeway.
I want a manual labor job. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, this is not very manual labor. My doctor even told me, he goes, it's not good to go and and sit for 3 hours.
I'm going to tell you something that is so discouraging regarding working out. It's mind-boggling. How many miles do you think you have to walk to burn enough calories to lose 1 pound? Give me a no. How many miles? You're not even going to believe this.
Walk?
Mm-hmm.
4.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Keep going.
Well, if you run, right. If you
walking.
Okay, I know it's walking. So I'm thinking walking 15 minutes. That's a lot of, that's a couple hours of walking. Right?
I
15 minute mile. It's an hour of walk.
I walked 2 hours and 4 minutes yesterday.
You walked 2 hours.
I walked 2 hours yesterday.
Did you do?
And I looked.
8 miles?
I looked it up. 6 miles. But that's trying to get ready for the. You know what? I think really short
steps,
strides.
Yeah. You know.
So I was on the Fox Trail, and there is no starting point for the Fox Trail.
They talked to the county.
It's not there. They do not have a starting point, a marker for the Fox.
So they have
I even asked a lady who was walking. I said, do you know where the marker is, where it starts?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I don't.
They have these 4x4 posts with like mile markers with like a little pyramid on top, you know, and 1.2 or, you know.
Yeah.
There should be one right on Polier
that
and Adams.
Zero,
that says 0.0.
And there isn't one.
Yeah.
There is not one on the Fox.
They could have brought that with that fine you got.
I know, right? Exactly. Got text is followed by, I want manual labor work, but I am chafed and wearing bike shorts to work. I'm going to be honest with you.
That's a good listener.
I was chafed so bad last night, John, after that walk. I had to get lotion.
John, nobody cares.
I'm not kidding.
Cares.
You can't believe
nobody
how chafed.
Cares.
I don't know what to do about that. It's because my thighs are so whatever. So when you talk about you can walk, you wouldn't want to look into my apartment last night.
Nope.
because I had nothing on. Because I couldn't have anything on because I was chafed so bad. But anyway, I'm just being honest. So, you know.
So we don't need this kind of honesty. We just need to be. That's too deep, John.
Nobody, Jim, here's some bullet points for
you.
Oh,
my God.
Chafed.
Get me out of here.
Naked and lotion. I mean, if those three things, bullet points.
I'm being honest.
Good morning, everybody.
I'm being honest.
I can't even drink coffee anymore. Okay.
Okay. Do I know how many miles?
I say eight. I'll double it to eight. Okay. So eight miles walking, you could lose a pound. I would think yes.
Incorrect.
Okay.
What is it?
35.
Oh, no, my God.
35 miles to lose 1 pound. You have to walk 35 miles to lose 1 pound.
John, you got it.
Losing a pound of fat is so hard, it's unbelievable. 35 miles of walking to lose 1 pound.
I'm going to look it up on Google.
Look it up. It's probably 35 minutes.
No. All right, here we go. Ready? Okay. I've got the answer already. John, according to Eating Well, you need to walk roughly 35 miles or 70,000 steps to lose a pound.
Thank you.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Isn't that discouraging?
I can't believe that.
Say it again, Todd.
According to Eating Well, you need to walk roughly 35 miles or 70,000 steps to lose 1 pound.
All right. I got an idea.
That is very discouraging.
That is
so discouraging.
How about jogging? Not running, jogging. Like canter. Like
canter. I jog at a canter pace.
On average.
Between galloping and.
On average, jogging, you still need to run about 35 miles.
Oh, that.
Jim.
That doesn't make sense to me, you guys. That's running from here to Manitowoc.
Yeah.
To lose a pound?
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
So, it is diet.
It is. I mean, it's like, I saw a thing. Wow. It's 80%. Losing weight is 80% diet.
Yeah.
No, it's great for your heart and your blood pressure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whatever you do, half
but
an
wait.
Hour, whatever.
But wait.
Actual losing fat
right.
is such a hard thing to do.
I see another thing here that says roughly 30 miles, but it's still in that 30 to 35
right.
mile range. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's shocking
that's
almost,
a lot.
Isn't it?
That's a yeah. lot. I mean, that's you could do that maybe. Well, then again, you could do that in a week. So if you want to lose a pound a week.
Yeah.
You know, 1 year you'd be where you should be.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
No, we're going to try something else.
We have to go back to Cholesterol Fest and talk about this.
Where's that Ozempic guy?
You know, my daughter lost like 40 pounds doing something like that.
I don't know. I think that's, you know what? I told you,
if I could take a pill and do it, I just can't give myself a shot.
Well, somebody else can do it in your back arm. You know,
I guess.
Look. I mean, and those needles are so small and so thin now.
If John got it, Jim, would you give him the shot?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I would not allow him to get it.
No,
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't
let you give me the shot.
Yeah, I would.
I think
you would
stick
it
in further than you have to. You try to hit a nerve. You
the
would
needle's
do something.
Like not even
I don't
an
care.
Inch,
I
three quarters of an inch.
I think
you can
if
only
you,
go in so far.
If you have a chance to inflict pain on me
that is
under the guise of I'm doing this for you. But you'd make it a little bit more painful than you need to be. You would do that.
Right,
I feel
right,
like
right.
you would do
okay.
that.
All right. Well, Todd, would you allow Todd to?
Yes,
okay.
in a heartbeat.
All right, there we go. So now we just have to get the fundraiser going for $1,000 a month.
Don't,
we got to figure something out,
hey,
Johnny.
Hey, folks, donate to our great cause.
Forget
it's a wonderful charity.
Yeah. Ozempic for these two lazy guys.
Two fat old white guys. All right, we got to start a quick break. Ryan Lambert, Benediana Malcar, Keith Pamper, Challenge Outdoors, and, of course, Terry Barr with A Slice of Wisconsin, all coming up next.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live on location at Volk Field with the Wisconsin Air National Guard's Northern Lightning, a great training exercise. Learn all about aircraft, pilots, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.